Jaime, this is a proclamation of God's word to you and over you this morning, that God's love in wave after wave crashes over you. I want you to picture being at the ocean and seeing those waves. And the thing that strikes me about them is that each wave has a time of celebration and a time of reflection. And that even as you preach to us this morning about celebration and reflection and that pattern, God's love is crashing over you, bringing you celebration and reflection right here as you model to us and teach us of his patterns for us.
Amen.
That power and that majesty present in the ocean wave is present here today with you.
Amen.
And with us. Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to testify. Janet doesn't know this, but the earlier this week, I was meeting with a friend, and we were listening to God together. We were spending time reflecting. And the image that came to us was of me in a river, splashing around like a child delighted with joy, and God there enjoying it with me. Sort of. So have you seen kids when they're really excited about being in the water, that they just splash around, and there's just this, like, complete abandon of enjoying that they're there. And then when the parents are really into it, there's just like this like belly laughter of enjoying it with them. That's the image that we got as we were praying and listening on my behalf. So yeah, clearly, Janet, thank you for that. That was a reminder from God. So I just want to testify that God is speaking. When we listen, God speaks. So if you've not ever taken time to listen to God, and you're skeptical about whether or not God still speaks, let me encourage you to take some time. Now, God speaks through his word. God speaks through images. God speaks to us sometimes in the observations and encouragement that other people give to us. But God still speaks. So my encouragement would be to listen, to listen. That's a freebie. That's not even part of the sermon. all right, so we're continuing in our series on the rhythms of life. And last month, well, I guess at this point it's 2 months ago because it would be May, and we're already in July. My Lord, how the year moves. In the month of May, one of my staff, Nick, so for those of you who don't know, my other job is I'm on staff with an organization called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I work with students in colleges and universities all on Long Island, and I lead a staff team that helps us engage students with the gospel and invite them to follow Jesus in every area of this life. And so one of my staff members, Nick, was leaving our team. He has left at this point. And so for his last meeting, we wanted to celebrate him. You know, we wanted to sort of bring closure to his time with us. And we did it as part of a working meeting, so we worked together. But there were a few elements that I thought were worth noting about this, which I thought were really key and crucial. First, it was a surprise. Nick doesn't like surprises normally, but he was smiling from the moment he walked in and he saw the balloons that we had set up, which were of the colors of the school that he's now going to be staffing in. We had gifts for him. We made good food for him. He was happy about that because Nick loves food. And in the middle of the meeting, during our work time, we had time to share about the impact that Nick has made on our team and the impact he's made on us. We had time to bless him, and we had also time to share some of our talents with him. So one of my other staff, Stephen, he has the gift or talent of freestyle rapping. So he composed a rap on the spot for Nick to bless him. And so he shared something that was very much his with Nick to sort of bless him and celebrate him. Now, I want you to know, Nick's not leaving the organization. Nick's still working with us. In fact, I saw him a couple of weeks after that meeting. He's just moving on to a new assignment because he's getting married. And he's only spent just over 2 years on the team. Still, it was important for us to slow down So to interrupt what our normally scheduled meetings look like, to slow down and mark this occasion. Because it's important. It's important to acknowledge, to look back and say, you have been with us, you have walked this trajectory with us, and it has made a difference. And we want you to know how. And we want to give you something to say, we recognize that, and we value it. Today we're continuing our series in the rhythms of life. And we're doing this because life has a beat of its own. And if we're not careful, life dictates to us what the beat of our lives is. And we may think, well, it's just an okay rhythm. It's just the way life is. In fact, many of us say it. It's just the way it is. But we believe that God has actually designed some disciplines and habits that we can actually adopt and implement into our lives to create a healthy rhythm, a rhythm that is life-giving, a rhythm that is restorative, and a rhythm that builds us up rather than tears us down. But in order to engage in this rhythm, we can't just let life happen to us. We must be intentional about the rhythm that we keep in life. So we've covered so far a couple of things that we think are key for this rhythm. One is practicing the presence, which is essentially how to become aware of God in every situation. How to become aware of God's presence and working in every situation. And so we even talked about, we quoted a book and said, that God is with us among the pots and pans. The author of the book was a cook. So that's how he imagined practicing the presence of God as he was cooking. And then we talked about Sabbath and vacation and how we are actually designed and need a break. We need to be able to stop work. We need to stop, rest, reflect, and replenish periodically, or else we waste away. And that's not just us reading it from the Bible. Science tells us that. And if you were here, and if not, you can go online and listen to it. Pastor Jeff listed off study after study that said, here's what happens when you don't rest. And here's what happens when you do. And last week, then, we talked about work. What does it mean to engage work with a mindset of seeing work as something that benefits us, that makes God, that pleases the Lord, that gives us stuff to sustain ourselves and to bless others, and then that work is actually part of the rhythm that God designed. Because it's not just that the rhythm is that we need to stop working, but it's that the actual work that we do is part of the rhythm that God has designed for us. And so today we turn to our next part of this series, and it's celebration and reflection. So if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to Psalm 103? If you're using a pew Bible, those are the Bibles that are provided either in front of you or somewhere along your pews. On most of those, it's page 587. So again, that's Psalm 103. And if you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 587. And we already heard part of it, so I'm glad that this will not be unfamiliar to us. Here we go, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. This is an exciting and energetic psalm, friends. Now, when he says praise the Lord, and the word here can also be translated as bless the Lord. Now, when we think of praise, especially if we're churched, we think of the context of what we do here on a Sunday morning. And so we think of maybe saying a word that's like hallelujah or God is good. And those are good. Those are praises. Or we think of maybe singing a song, and that's good too. But I think when the psalmist is expressing that, when he's inviting people into this and inviting himself into this, he's talking about more than just a prayer and a song. He's talking about praising and blessing God with his whole being. Right? He says, all that is within me. And I think when we sing, we're praising God. But sometimes, I mean, I look at myself and I don't think I'm praising him with all that is in within, that is all that is in within me. You know, like I'm singing. My heart is in it. My mind is in it. But like it's not infecting all of me. And I think that's what the psalmist is inviting us to in this psalm. There is something about the entirety of who we are that can turn to praise, that can turn to bless the Lord. I think the psalmist is inviting us into and inviting himself into a full-bodied, fully experienced praising and blessing of the Lord. I think what he's inviting himself and his audience into is celebration. He's inviting them to like make a big deal out of God. Make a big deal out of what God has done. Acknowledge that this is huge. This is huge. And he ties this invitation to reflection. Now you notice that the first thing he does is he invites himself to praise. And because these psalms can be read aloud, he's inviting people into praise. But then he goes into like a listing of things. Someone recently that I was talking to about this called it, he goes into a benefits package here. Right? And he says, forget not all his benefits. So it's not just praise the Lord with all that you have. It's praise the Lord with all that you have. Remember. Because in order to celebrate, you need to remember. In order to praise with all that you have, you need to reflect. You have to look back. Kierkegaard, who's a philosopher from the 20th century, said that life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. Now, he was speaking to an audience that apparently spent most of its time just focusing on the past, and he was saying, hey, we got to get going. We got to get going or life is going to pass us by. I think the pendulum has actually swung in the completely opposite direction currently. I think currently all we're concerned about is what's coming up next and how we head into the next thing. Actually, I think now what we need to say is life can only be lived moving forward, but it can only be understood by looking back. And many of us go through life only experiencing what's in front of us, and we never understand what happens. And because we never understand, our moments of celebration are few and far between, because we can only gather to celebrate what's in front of us. We can't actually collect and remember and look at what's behind, because there's too much coming. There's too much coming. I think we've lived so geared to going forward that we've lost the ability to understand. To understand. Someone once said, those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it, or a variant of that. And I think that's true. I think that encourages us to look back so that we know how to move forward. And so that's what the psalmist does. He tells them, look back. Now, he assumes they know their history, so he doesn't go into all the detail. But what he does is he reminds them of parts of the history, of sort of highlights of their history, so that they can see that no matter where they are right now, they have reason to praise. They have reason to bless the Lord. Actually, their history builds up to this crescendo. It's like, did you read all that's there? It's like you can't help but say, wow, God is amazing. God is amazing. And maybe right now things aren't going well, but the history of God with our people tells us that God is good and that there's reason to praise and to bless. This buildup that's coming, it feels like it merits more than just a word. It feels like it merits more than just a song. It merits a party. And the psalmist is inviting them, make a big deal out of this. Like, let me just summarize. Here are all the things that the psalmist points out that he sees as reasons to celebrate. He sees that God forgives all sins. All sins. Now, I want you to maybe put yourself in that for a moment and think about how that feels to know. Now, I'm a sinner. I'm assuming you are too. I'm assuming maybe we're on different gradients of the spectrum of, like, the quality of our sin. But we all have part of it. We all have a little bit of it or a lot of it. Now, think about the one that you regret the most, the one that weighs on you the most. And think about how it feels to hear that God forgives that one. He forgives all the sins. Don't you just want to party? Don't you just want to celebrate? He heals all disease. And I want you to know that many of us don't experience all of that here and now. But in the coming kingdom, in eternity, there will be no disease. There will be no illness. God will heal that. He takes us from places of pain and abandonment and puts us in places of honor. And we have value to God and we have value in God. It says that he satisfies us with good things. Some of us may gloss over that one, but I think that one's important. Because I think there's a bunch of theology, a bad theology out there that says that following God means only suffering, or means you have to give up everything, or means that nothing good happens to you. You have to redefine what good is, and good is whatever religious activity is. But that's not what it says here. It says he satisfies us with good things. It says that he sees the neglected, and he does right by them. Now, many of us see neglected, and we try to do right by them, but if we're honest with ourselves, we don't see all of them. We can't see all of them, and we can't solve us individually, can't solve all the problems of injustice around the world, but God sees it. God makes it right. God makes himself known. Now, we take that for granted because we're steeped in religious culture, but the idea that a God would choose to reveal himself to people is mind-blowing. God has compassion. Now we read that one and we read a little further down past compassion and we see the word anger and we're like, oh, God's an angry God. But that's not the point of that. All the gods were angry. Right? In that time, in that culture, God's being angry was a given. Gods could unexpectedly decide to destroy you. What's key about this is that his love is greater than anger. That's revolutionary. That's revolutionary. And that his anger passes. And lastly, it's the idea that we aren't seen through the lens of our worst moment. Some of us go through life defined by the worst mistake we made. It just hangs over us. And people remember us by that. Oh, you're that guy. Right? If you're a fan of sports, for many years, an athlete named Bill Buckner from the Boston Red Sox was known as the guy who cost the Red Sox the World Series. This was before they won championship. That was a big deal in Boston. Now, he didn't. He missed a ground ball, but he became defined by one of his worst moments, by one of his biggest mistakes. We do that to each other, but God doesn't do that to us. God doesn't see us through our worst moment. And lastly, he calls us his children. All of that is reason to celebrate. All of that is reason to party. And that's why we need to slow down and reflect. That's why we need to be able to look back. That's why they needed to be able to look back. Because if they looked back on their history, then they saw all the reasons that they had to celebrate, all the reasons that they had to praise, all the reasons that they had to bless. And I suspect that if we slowed down, if we took the time to look back and to consider our lives, we would see, we would spot God all over the place. And we would have reason to celebrate. We would have reason to praise. See, we slow down and reflect so we can enjoy the gift of interpretation and perspective. Because sometimes when we're going through things, we don't have perspective about what's going on. We can't interpret what these things mean. And oftentimes we forget them once they happen because we got to move on to the next thing. But when we stop, when we slow down, when we look back, we're blessed with the gift of interpretation and perspective. And we do this so that we can then live forward with intentionality, so that we can increase our wisdom, and so that we can take purposeful action. Because for many of us, life is not purposeful. Life is just what we do. We know what we're going to do tomorrow. Many of us, we're going to get up, we're going to go to work, we're going to come back home, we're going to have dinner, we're going to watch TV, we're going to go to sleep, we're going to wake up the next day, and that's different because it's a holiday. But normally, that's it. Now, at some point, we made a decision that that's what was going to happen. But beyond that, have we stopped and looked back and think, is this what I actually want my life to be? Is this what I feel God inviting me to? What have I learned so far? What does my life say about me? Is that what I want it to say? Now, I had the gift of an opportunity to slow down recently. I took a trip to Puerto Rico. There we go. For those of you who've been around for a while, you know that last year my grandmother passed away. And so this was my first trip back after she passed away. It's my first time going home and not visiting their home, not visiting my grandparents' home. My grandfather now lives with my aunt, so this was really weird. But I got to spend a weekend with my grandfather. It was a gift to my aunt so she could take a weekend off and just spend some time with her husband away with my uncle. And so I spent the weekend taking care of my grandfather. And, you know, we did a lot of things together, and I made sure that he was cared for. He needs round-the-clock care, so I took care of him. And then as the trip was ending, I took some time to think. And even in the days after the trip happened, I took some time to think, and I looked back at what had happened that week. And so those days. And in those days, I made sure my grandfather was bathed. I fed him. I took him out for a drive and bought him fast food. I fell for one of his tricks and gave him more soda than he's actually allowed. I kept him from having desserts when he didn't need them. I played games and watched TV with him, and I made sure that his life was in a good rhythm. And upon reflecting, what I realized is those were all the things he used to do for me. Those were all the things he used to do for me. And there was this moment where I just got to thank God that I got to say thank you in a very real way to him for what he'd invested in me. Now, the only reason I caught that was because I slowed down and looked back. And that influences then how I move forward. So now what I'm looking for is, when's the next time I can go and do that? When's the next time I can have that opportunity? Because it's not just about being with him. Being with him is good. It's about the things I do with him. It's about the time I spend with him. It's about what it communicates to him and to me. So we're actually going to do a reflection exercise right now. I know many of you don't have time during the week to slow down, so I'm going to give you time to slow down right now. So slow down your brain. You have an insert in your bulletin. It's blank, you'll notice. That's not a printing error. That's by design. And what I'd love for you to do is to take some time, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you instructions, pray, and then remind you of the instructions. So I want you to take some time and look back at the year so far. Some of you may need to take out planners. Some of you may need to look at your smartphone and look at your calendars. That's okay. But I want you to look at what's passed in the year, and I want you to identify moments, key relationships, projects that you engaged in that seem significant. For those of you who are in school, it could be classes or tests or seasons, or maybe it was science fair or sports activities that were significant to you. I know some of you may have been champions in your league, so that's significant. And also instances where you may see God's love, compassion, and favor. So I'm going to pray for God to reveal some of those things. And then I want you to look back and sort of jot down what you notice or what comes to mind. All right? And I'll remind you after I pray. Spirit, I invite you to give us eyes to see what you want us to see about the last 7 months or 6 months. Bring to mind, bring to our attention things that maybe we've forgotten or glossed over. Maybe things that we didn't think significant in the moment, but actually are. Bring them up now, God, so that we may be able to reflect on them and based on that, live forward with intentionality. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, take some time to identify moments, relationships, projects, classes that seem significant, and maybe instances where you can see God's love, compassion, and favor, and you might want to jot those down. And you got a few minutes to do that. Some of you have already come up with things. You've already written them down. I want to invite, and wait till I finish before you do this. I want to invite you to turn to someone and just share what came up, what was noteworthy. And for those of you who haven't come up with anything yet, feel free to tell the people next to you, if they turn to you, say, I'm not ready yet. I need a little bit more time. All right? So just turn and share what came up for you. If you haven't yet switched, switch. Make sure the other person shares too. All right. So for some of us, this exercise revealed that the past 6 months, the things that most stand out are painful. And I want to acknowledge that that might be true for some of you. And there's nothing wrong with you if that's true. There are seasons where we go through long periods of time where it's hard to come up with anything good. And I think that was true for the Israelites. I think that's why the psalmist rehearses all of their history. Because sometimes some of the painful seasons are long, and we need to remember that even though they feel long, God's reputation and God's history tells us that eventually that will end. And we need to look a little further back in order to grab things to celebrate. In order to grab things to say, oh, that reminds me that God is good and God is loving. But for some of you, it was easy to come up with things. You were like, oh, this was good. Oh, this was great. Oh, I finished that project. Oh, we were champions. That's fantastic. So what do we do with all that good stuff? Because we often don't actually acknowledge it in the moment. It just passes. Well, what we do is we celebrate. Celebration helps us savor life. When we plow through life without celebrating, we can only enjoy good things in the moment that we live them. But there are things to be enjoyed that can only be enjoyed fully once they're completed. Now, some of you know this because you work in fields where it only feels good, the project only feels good once it's done. It just feels hard in the moment. But our attitude usually is, that was hard, that was hard, that was hard, that was hard. Oh, we're done, that's good, next one. And it's only when we look back that we're able to see, wow, we really came together as a team there. Or, man, I really learned something important there. Or, wow, we got through that hard thing together, and this is good. So we need to be able to look back and celebrate them. Now, celebration is throughout the Bible. Now, we see it, and what we see are feasts. But feasts are celebrations. They're parties. They're all throughout the Old Testament. The people were commanded to gather together yearly on numerous occasions to celebrate. To celebrate not only God, but to celebrate what God had done among his people. And so they celebrated together. In the New Testament, Jesus not only took part in these feasts, but he was also consistently with people during feasts. These were celebrations. They were parties. Good times were had. There's a reason why Jesus is accused of being a drunkard and a glutton, right? It's because he was with people and people were having a good time. They were celebrating things. They were enjoying life. Now, I used to not celebrate much because I thought that most things don't deserve to be celebrated. Right? I had like a really high bar on what should be celebrated. The things that ran through my head were things like work is its own reward. Maybe you have the one running through your head. Or I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so there's no real reason to celebrate that. And sorry. And the lie behind that is that celebrating more would somehow cheapen celebration. Right? So like we have to like ration celebration so it doesn't get cheapened. But the only thing that cheapens celebration is fake celebration. Real celebration, no matter for how small the thing might seem, doesn't cheapen it as long as it's authentic. In fact, celebrating more things, what it actually does is it strengthens our capacity to celebrate. It actually produces more celebration. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is a story Jesus tells about a son that leaves home and then returns. And when he returns, the father receives him. But you know what he does right after that? He throws a party. So in one of Jesus' key parables, the ending is celebration. The ending is celebration. So then now some of you are thinking like, all right, Jaime, you've got me sold. I need to slow down. I need to reflect. I've done a little bit of that now. I got something to celebrate. How do I celebrate? What do we do? How do we celebrate? Well, there are many ways to celebrate. I'm going to show you an example of one in a moment. It's a scene from a movie, and I want to sort of intro what's going on in the scene. So the movie is Love Actually. Some of you may be familiar with it. And what's happening is this character, played by Hugh Grant, is the Prime Minister of England, and he's just had a really tough day. He had some challenging meetings, and there were some unfortunate circumstances, and towards the end of the day, he shows some courage and some strength, and he takes a risky move that is good, that ends up being good, and it increases morale in the country. And so as he's arriving home, you can see he's tired. He's like taking off his coat and like unbuttoning his shirt. He turns on the radio, and the DJ is talking about this and dedicates a song to him. So we're about to see what happens during that scene. All right.
Prime Minister, I think he'll enjoy this. A golden oldie for a golden oldie.
Can we move the Japanese ambassador to 4 o'clock tomorrow?
Certainly, sir.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Prime.
Yeah. So, what you see is all that is within him just celebrates what happened that day. Like, he just can't help, but he's not great at dancing. No one's going to accuse him of winning a dance competition. But just all that's within him just can't help but say, this was a good day. Yes, with my whole body, I want to celebrate that. And sometimes that's what celebration looks like. Celebration looks like dancing. And we see it in our kids. Like, when kids are excited about something, they do two things consistently. They make a lot of noise, and they move their bodies. They celebrate. Everything within them just wells up in celebration. And sometime along the line, we lose that. So that's one way that celebration looks like. Another way that celebration looks like is having a good meal with friends. Now, for some of you, that's a lot of people. It's a party. But for some of us, a party is actually 6 people around a table, quietly enjoying a good meal. And that's okay, as long as what happens is that with all that is within you, something is acknowledged that was good. That was good. And what you'll find is that celebration produces more celebration. sorry. The last thing I want to share is this picture. This was my graduation party. Now, I said what I said before about groups, because for some of you, you see that and you're like, that's just like Sunday dinner at home. But for me, that's a party. This was sort of the first big celebration that I did outside of normal, like, birthdays and wedding anniversaries. Because God was birthing in me this desire to live life a little bit more intentionally and to actually celebrate good things. So I finished my Master's of Divinity, which took me a long time, which involved sacrifice from my wife and from me and from people around us. And I just wanted to make a big deal out of it. I just wanted to look back and say, we did this. And so I invited some of my close friends. We gathered together. Lydia ordered food from some of the restaurants that I liked. We played games. One of my friends made her famous guacamole. That was before I discovered Tommy's famous guacamole. Just saying, don't get offended here. You're my favorite now. Hope that gets me some guacamole sometime soon. And we just looked back and said, this is what the last 3 years have been like, and this is what it's meant, and this is important, and we praise God for that. That was simple, right? It looks simple. For some of you, that's like Sunday. But for me, that was super special. And it just started to birth in me this idea that when something good happens, we celebrate. It doesn't have to be, like sometimes it's just I dance. You're not going to see that today. But I have a special dance that I do when I need to celebrate something. And I do it, right? Because it's good that with all that is within me, I want to acknowledge God has done something good. So what I want you to do this week is take that thing that you wrote down and find a way to celebrate it. Go out for a meal or a coffee or a snack, something special. Sit in a special chair and just enjoy something and say, I'm enjoying this because that happened and that was good. That was good. The world needs more of that. The world needs more people who can slow down and appreciate the good things. And if we lead the way, then we can change the world because we come bearing the gift of God. So today we're actually going to celebrate something together. We're going to celebrate communion. We're going to do it a little differently than we normally do. I'm going to invite the people who are going to serve communion to come up and start gathering the elements, and the people back there who are going to be up. Normally we do communion by coming in groups and gathering the elements and eating them together. That's not how we're going to do it today. What we're going to do is everyone's going to come up, you're going to grab the bread, you're going to grab the cup, and you're going to go sit down. Because what I want you to do is I want you to take one thing on your list and say, today I'm celebrating that by remembering Jesus. Because that's what we do in communion, we remember Jesus. So you're going to take the elements, you're going to sit down, and then when everyone has the elements, I'll lead us in how we take communion together. All right? So the worship team is going to play a little bit. Y'all are going to come up, grab the elements, and then sit down, and then I'll lead us in communion. All right. So